anything else you could say about shopping? Some things needed to be refrigerated, didn't they, in your store?
Oh, yes.
How did you do that?
Well, we had refrigerators.
Was it ice or electric?
No, regular cold storage refrigerator.
Yes.
It wasn't ice.
Motors that.
Yeah, the motors.
Freon in them probably.
Yeah, that's right.
Cooled it down. Yes. there was a movie house in.
Oh yeah.
Union, wasn't there?
Cozy Theater.
Cozy.
Yeah.
Ah.
It was run by a Mrs. Webb. She owned it, and it, she couldn't hear anything, and the kids raised hell down in front row, and here come the old lady with the flashlight, just bawl hell out of it. And it was all silent movies when I went there.
1920s.
Yeah, 20s. And it was all silent movie, and somebody played the piano for music, and then it finally... She sold it, I guess, and it went to good movies. Had noise.
Talkies.
And then they tore it down. They tore down everything around here. It's worth a damn.
Yeah. Grand is good at that too.
Oh, I read about that. You know, well, we lost both of our schoolhouses, and our theater, and a lot of houses. And some business houses have been torn down. I don't know why. It just happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a period when people didn't like things that looked old.
I guess so. Must have been.
This Cozy Theater, how many performances a week? Or how many nights a week?
Every night.
Every night?
As I remember, every night, yeah.
And would people fill the place?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, if you get an old Hoot Gibson or Richard Dix or some of them old timers, they'd come to watch them. I don't think, thinking back, they weren't much.
No,
they weren't much of a movie. You just.
Or some people would say that about movies today also.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Were there any kinds of traveling shows that came to Union?
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, it's a tent show. I remember one of them was Toby Tyler. I remember that one. Because I sneaked into that one.
What did he do?
Oh, he's just a comedian. Told a lot of corny jokes and had a plenty of uniforms. And then he had some other people with him and did other things too, yeah. And we still have carnivals every year here.
And traveling carnivals.
Yeah. And we had, I remember several tent shows up here. I can't tell you what they were, but they set up right there where the old South School is.
Where the what?
Where the old South School, where they tore it down.
Oh.
And there's a lot this side. Then that's where they set them up. And
was this kind of thing something that almost everybody in town would come to?
Pretty near, yeah.
There was... No better entertainment available.
That's all there was.
Yeah. How often would people go to Le Grand, either for shopping or for entertainment?
Too often.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they would pass the merchants here and go to Le Grand, spend their money.
When did that start happening? 40s?
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever they got cars, you know.
Yeah, well, of course, there were cars from... Early part of the 20th century,
yeah.
Maybe most people didn't have them until the 20s or 30s.
No, we didn't have cars. Most people had a horse or a buggy or a wagon or something. And Main Street had hitch racks. And of course, there was no pavement then. And they had hitch racks, and everybody come tie up the damn hitch racks. I used to do that. I had a horse.
Who cleaned up the horse shit?
I don't know. I suppose the city commissioner, the city, whatever he was, Ed Sherman. I suppose he was the old. He was the guy, street commissioner.
Oh
yes. And he had an old white team, and that's the only thing he had.
A shovel and a bucket.
Shovel and a bucket, yeah. And then you got Charlie Hensley, and he graduated to a wheelbarrow, It was pretty primitive, I'll tell you.
Why do you think once people had cars, they thought that LeGrand was more appealing to go for shopping?
Yeah, bigger stores, one thing or another.
So could they get things there that they couldn't really get in Union?
Because you still can. Yeah.
Give me a couple of examples from long ago.
Well, Mother made, I had two little sisters and two brothers and myself, and she made a lot of our clothes, and she had to go to LeGrand to get material.
Oh, yes.
And we had a clothing store up here and one down there, but for some reason she wanted to go to LeGrand. Well, maybe it's just to get out of the house, I don't know.
Would that have the effect of causing some of the businesses in Union to go out of business?
Well, yeah. Levy was a Jew, and he lived right over here. He was a nice guy. There was a whole family of them. Mick and Leon and Edna and Stella, and there's a whole bunch of them. And they run the store. But, well, a lot of people didn't go to their store. I don't really know why.
Prejudice,
probably. Yeah. And they were nice people. I liked them. Although Stella, she was kind of funny, but old Mick and... Well, when I got sick with typhoid fever, and I was in Hot Lake for four months, and when I came home, old Mick came up and brought a big white cake. They were nice people, yeah. But they're all gone now, and Sue Briggs lives in the house. You don't know Sue?
No.
Yeah.
Were there any black people ever living in Union?
Yes, just one or two. They never was prevalent. We had an old guy named Willie Torrance, and he lived down at the junction. And every night he walked to town, winter or summer, to buy a little bit of groceries for supper. And he'd walk back. I liked the old man. I talked to him a few times. And then he had a son named Willie Torrance, and I'm not sure. I think he went to either Baker or LeGrand High School.
I think he became a well-known football player.
Oh, yes, he did, yeah.
Well, what did Willie Sr. do for work?
He worked on the section.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where the section had to live. Yeah.
What do you think was the attitude of most people in Union about people with black faces?
Not too good in the early days. Now they take it, but... In the early days,
Did you ever hear comments?
Niggers, niggers, niggers. Everybody was a nigger. And I still don't think that's right. They're people. But they... And I've still got friends that call them niggers. I straighten them out once in a while, but don't do it again.
Well, at least you let them know where you stand.
Yeah.
You mentioned being in Hot Lake for 4 weeks, was it?
4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
Typhoid fever.
Yeah.
Now, let's start with the typhoid fever. Where do you think you got it and why?
From a carrier. I was working on Cadwell's Ranch up the creek, and this old lady, Mrs. Lovin, was cooking there. And four of us got typhoid fever. And so they finally discovered, they took tests, that it was the old lady that was a carrier. So they isolated her in LeGrand, in the little house, and she had, I guess she lived there until she died.
What were your symptoms?
Well, they starved you to death.
No, your symptoms. What did you first notice about why you were sick?
I got hot. Had fever.
Fever.
Yeah, fever. And my mother, I come down with it on the Minum River, horseback, way back in the mountains. And boy, I got sick. And I didn't get all the way home. I got back to the Cadwell Ranch, and I'd been working there, and I went in there, and nobody's home, so I went to bed on a couch they had there. And they found me, and I was delirious, I guess. So they called Dad, and he...
Were you in your 20s then?
Probably, 1931.
Before you graduated from high school then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
About 16, I guess.
Yeah, about 16. Yeah. That's what it was, 16.
Okay.
And They took me over there. They kept me there 4 months. That was a miserable time. And no air conditioning, you know. And they put me right on the brick side of that hot building. And no air. And I just like to die. Well,
how were they treating you?
The best they could.
Well, I mean, what were they doing?
Well, they didn't feed me. They'd feed me a little bowl of Jell-O and a little bowl of apples. I was drained through a rag and a glass of milk once a day. And I went from 130 pounds down to 80 pounds before I got out of there.
They were starving you to cure you?
That, you see, the doctor explained to me, the reason we can't feed you solid food, your intestines are so thin it'll break them. And that'll be it. So that's the reason, I guess.
I could have fed you the milk and the Jell-O 3 times a day, I should think.
Oh, I don't think so, but they didn't.
Hey, were you lying down all the time?
Oh, yeah. That was 2 weeks. He hardly turned over in bed. He got real weak.
Were you in a room with other?
No. I was isolated because it was contagious, you know, yeah.
And tell me about the nursing.
Well, I don't remember too much about them. I guess they were good nurses. I had one old lady I didn't like, but that don't make her a bad nurse, you know. But they did the best they could, I think, yeah.
Were you able to get out of bed to go to the toilet?
No.
So they took care of that in the bed?
Bedpan, yeah. Oh, God, that's a miserable experience. Yeah.
Do you remember any other of the other details about being in Hot Lake? The sounds you heard, smells, or other patients?
They put me in a room right next to the diet kitchen. And I could smell that food all day long, and I couldn't have any, you know. That would
smell good?
Oh, God, it was wonderful. That was bad planning. I think he could have put me someplace down the hall or something, yeah. Yeah. But that's been a long time ago, boy.
Well, if you were there for 4 months, you probably improved gradually.
Yeah. I got where they'd get me up in a wheelchair and take me out on the veranda and leave me out there for too long. I'd get shaken, I'd get so weak, you know. But that, I guess I did that on purpose so I would get stronger. And
did you talk to other patients?
No, I wasn't allowed to. See, I had time. I was contagious. Even the doctor washed his hands before he left the room.
Well, that's a good idea.
Good idea. Yeah. And
how did they decide, as far as you know, that you weren't contagious anymore?
I don't really recall. I just know my mother came over every day to see me. She couldn't drive, but somebody would bring her. And I think they told her that I was ready to go come home because she came over, brought my brother in a car, and brought me home, put me right to bed.
Do you think that experience could have had any effect on how you felt about high school?
I don't know. It might have been. See, I missed half a year.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Right. I was there all summer and part of the winter. And so when I went back to school, the teachers told me I did a lot better after I'd fallen out of half a year, lost a half a year. So they let me graduate in three and a half years. And I tried hard. I tried that. But the thing about it was I liked manual training. And I took two periods of that.
Well, that's where you learned how to be a carpenter.
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah. Old man Baxter was our instructor, and he taught me a lot, yeah.
Back to Hot Lake for a minute. At that time, of course, Dr. Fye was no longer there.
No.
He had died.
His boy was there.
Mark.
Yeah, Mark, yeah.
And from what I've heard, almost immediately, Hot Lake started to deteriorate. It wasn't being kept up very well.
I think that's probably right. Probably right, yeah.
Do you remember anything else you noticed about that?
Well, they had it was just like a little town. They had a pharmacy and a restaurant and a whole lot of things there. Mm-hmm. And
those were all holdovers from Dr. Fye's,
yeah,
first Dr. Fye.
Yeah, sure they were. But eventually kind of just wilted away, I guess.
Did you go out to the spring house?
No.
You know where that is, don't you?
Yeah. No.
Could you smell the lake?
Oh, yeah. I could still smell it when I could drive by, but I went to the spring house after I got better. My dad took me over there for a checkup or something, and we went out in the spring, drank a little bit of that old stinking water.
Uh-huh.
It was quite a place.
Yeah.
Yeah. The old doctor, had a chauffeur, a little car, and all uptown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did other people you talked to in Union seem to think about Hot Lake?
Well, of course, it's been closed up for years.
Yeah, but I mean about the time that you were there.
Well, there was four of us there. Me and Betty Kettle, Ward Horn, and Annie Kettle. We all had typhoid.
Oh.
But I was the only one that had that bad, me and Betty.
You think you all got it from the same woman?
Oh, yeah. We was all working at the same ranch. Yeah. And she... Well, they put her in a little house up there, and she wrote a letter to Cadwell, that's the man I was staying with. And I think I read it once, but he showed it, but she kind of cussed him out. And the last few words, there you all are in a nutshell. Well, I didn't blame her too much. She was old and had to go up there and live like that. I suppose that she was on welfare, I imagine, or relief, we called it then. I suppose she was. I didn't dislike the old lady. She was kind of peculiar. She had funny ideas, but I got along with her.
Uh-huh. Maybe you'd like to talk a little more about conditions during the Depression. What experiences do you have directly, as well as things you observed about how the Depression was affecting people?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of fellows, I don't recall their names, but I worked with them. We was working for $1 a day. And
glad of it.
Yeah, and pitching hay, and damn glad to get it.
Yeah.
And they had three or four kids. How they made it, I don't know. I was renting a house. How do you do that on $1 a day?
Well, you barter things, perhaps.
Yeah.
They
probably
vegetables.
Did.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
Roots.
They probably raised a garden. Maybe they had a cow or a hog or something. But they never seemed to get down. They never really got down. They were always cheerful, mm-hmm. You know.
Did it seem to you that some of the mill owners or the people who owned stores in Union were doing okay?
Yeah, I think, well... I think so. I don't know for sure.
Well, did you ever see people begging?
Oh, yes. I had lots of traffic from Arkansas and different places going through here.
Yeah.
Just destitute people. And they'd come to the store, could you spare a loaf of bread or anything? And old man Haggerty, he'd get irritated, but he'd usually do it, yeah. And we had a family here. I think her name was Nelson, and she, old Grandma Nelson, she was a little old country woman, and kind of no teeth and one thing or another, and she had three little grandkids out there trying to live in a house, and so she comes to the store and ordered a bunch of groceries, and I took them out because I was a delivery boy, and she said, Bill Hank said, you get the money. Don't let her get by without giving you the money. Well, when I got out there, the old lady didn't have any money. She said, I can pay you sooner or later, but I don't have any money now. So I paid the bill out of my pocket. And I never told Bill Haggerty. I just told him I got some money. And when the old lady come in about a month later to pay that bill, it was already been paid. And she said, who paid it? Well, Bill knew I paid it, I guess. He said he paid it. And that old lady was really grateful, boy. I think she died right soon after that. Yeah. I don't know whatever happened to kids. She had a little bitty kid. Every time you take something, boy, they was all looking in the grocery box. you could tell he was hungry, hard up, you know. But that's the only experience I had. I had a lot of guys come through, like I said, going through and asking for meat or milk or something. And usually they got it. But
was this a man and a wife and about 10 children?
Sometimes, yeah.
What kind of cars or trucks were they in?
You couldn't hardly tell what they looked like. They were so covered up with old crap, full furniture and mattresses and all that stuff. You know.
Where were they going?
I don't know. I guess the Willamette Valley.
You didn't ask them?
No, I don't remember.
But it was hand-to-mouth all the way.
It was hand-to-mouth, yeah. They'd probably been doing that that since they left Arkansas or wherever they come from. Getting by.
Well, wasn't that kind of depressing?
It was.
So many people coming through under those conditions?
It was depressing, yeah. Yeah, it was. To me, it was, anyway. And I'd see one of them come through the door, old clothes on, you know. Oh, God, here comes another one. Sure enough.
Dirty and smelly.
Yeah, kind of smelly and dirty. And four, five, six little kids in the back of an old truck or something. It wasn't a good life.
Did any of them stick around the Union for a while?
Yeah, some of them did. I think, some guys out are here yet. I can't remember who all they are, but I know we call them Arkies or Okies or something. There's a few of them here yet.
Was that because they thought they could get a job here?
Well, some of them did. Some of them got a job in the mill, you know. But they couldn't hire too many because they had their own people to take care of, you know. But it was a sad time, a real sad time, yeah. I didn't notice it too much because I usually had a job. It wasn't a good job, but I had a job. I know at the end of the Depression, I was looking for work, and the lady at the run the hotel offered me a job for $1 a day, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and I had to scrub the floor every night. That big old white floor in that hotel.
The lobby.
I had to scrub that.
What else did you have to do?
I had to keep the furnace going, which is a job. It was burning sawdust, as I remember. And that was about it. And then I had to wait on the people, of course. And
doing what?
Clerk. I had to rent rooms and all that stuff, yeah.
What kinds of people coming through typically would stay at the hotel? It wasn't the Okies and the Arkies, was it?
No, not very many. We had traveling salesmen. There was lots of salesmen then. If you worked for Swift & Company, you had to be on the road, or anybody. A lot of salesmen. They all stayed there. Nearly all of them, I guess. And some people just traveling, going through. But
I bet they were in shinier cars and were dressed better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they were. You betcha. They weren't tramps.
Yeah. Do you think that for the time, this was a really quite good hotel?
It was a good hotel. A dandy. But it different people owned it, and finally, old man Myers was the last one. And it went downhill real bad. And then
at the time you were there, was there a restaurant as part of it?
Yeah, there was.
Can you describe that?
Well, it was a beautiful dining room. I know it was all white linen, of course, they cooked on a big old long wood stove. It was pretty damn good cooking, and they had several different people cooking there from time to time.
Did you ever eat there?
Oh yeah, that's where I ate my meals. Yeah.
I was tossed in. Beyond the dollar.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was beyond the dollar. Yes. Yeah, I usually ate there. And they had three waitresses, I remember, that worked in the restaurant part. And, there was Gene. Did you know Dave Baum?
Yes, well, I know who he is, or was.
Well, his sister. I went to school with her, and she was working there as a waitress. she's gone now, and a girl called Vivian Jory, she worked there. She went and walked her to sleep, and I'd be sitting there at the desk, maybe midnight or after, and here she'd come out of her room, come on along and everything, her eyes plumb shut, walk around the lobby, and I'd go over and wake her up. Oh, did I do that again? And she'd go back. She was a nice person. I can't remember who the other girl was. It was three of them. Some stranger, I guess.
While you were working there, were there any events in the parlor?
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of things going on.
Like what?
Oh, they had dances. Like the commercial club, they would hold a dance. And some guys come through with lecturing. And just odd and end things like that. Quite a bit of it, yeah.
Is that a better place for those kinds of things?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the lectures than the Cozy Theater?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe the Cozy Theater was gone by then.
No, it wasn't, but it you know, all they had was little old seats, you know. There was no place for it. All they could lecture up on stage, I guess.
Yes.
But they used the hotel mostly. I remember that old theater had a farmer's night every week, where they give away groceries and stuff. And of course, that was costing the merchants downtown, but I remember that part of it. Oh, it's been a good town to me. It's been a real good town.
Why do you say that?
Well, I've lived here 85 years, mostly, and I've always been able to get a job, and I've had all kinds of friends here. Lots of friends. Of course, they're all gone now, but I had a lot of friends. And I called square dances for 15 years, you know. And
tell me where they were held.
And, yeah, up the County Creek with the old hatchery, the Sportsman's Club up there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that still there?
Yep, it's still there. But they don't
have... They're kind of a meeting hall?
Yeah, a lot of people use it for that, yeah. It, yeah, that's right. As you go up the creek, you cross the bridge where the hatchery was there. You look to your left, it's right down there.
What kind of condition is it?
Pretty good, I think, yeah.
Well, now, you don't just start calling square dancing out of nowhere. You learn how to do it.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
How did you learn?
Well, it wasn't easy. It took me quite a while, but...
Have you done a lot of square dancing before?
No. I just... Well...
Watched them.
Yeah, I watched them, and again, when I was a little kid, we'd square dance some. We called it square dancing. I don't think it was, but then, no, I my friend Don Gale, he was a caller.
Miskell's husband.
He was a caller, and he talked me into going up there and taking some lessons. And I took lessons, I learned to square dance, and then I had to learn to call. And that took a little while, but I got on pretty good. I never called a square dance. I didn't fill the hall, I'll tell you that. Everybody would dance to me, partner everybody.
Well, what do you think you did that made you more popular?
Well, I had a good voice.
Good strong voice?
Good strong voice. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of singing calls, you know. And that's important.
Yes.
And I could sing. I can't now because I can't hardly breathe, but I could sing pretty good then. I sang in the choir at church for a while, and so I knew I could sing. But
did you ever take singing lessons in the union?
No. Just natural.
I suppose you were paid for square dance calling.
No.
Nope.
I paid $1 every time I went to a square dance. They didn't pay caller. Well, if they hired a caller from out of town, a traveling caller, they paid him, of course, but...
Well, if you got the biggest crowd, why didn't they pay you?
I don't know.
Did you ever ask?
So, well, we had a club, and I was part of the club, and so I expect several of us called, they never got paid.
Yeah. Now, describe for me, if you would, let's say a typical, maybe Saturday evening, that's what they, when they'd be.
Yeah.
Okay, how did the people dress when they came?
Well, we had, women all had a blue dress with is part of their uniform for square dancing. And the men just had ordinary clothes. And then it got to where the women would come in slacks or something like that. It kind of spoiled it. Yeah.
Because they looked better in the blue dresses.
Yeah, well,
the dresses would swing around when they were.
Yeah, and you could see the whole hall of just blue dresses. You know, it was beautiful.
The dresses they made.
Yeah, some of them. My wife had one. I guess she gave it away or something.
So, did people come early in the evening, 7 o'clock?
No, about 7 o'clock, something like that.
And were the musicians there?
We used a phonograph.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. All together.
Cheaper?
Oh yeah, cheaper. And I've still got it out there.
Uh-huh. Did you have a certain pattern or series that you always went through, the same sorts of dances each time?
No.
It was always different?
I had about 100 dances, records. Uh-huh. And I...
What did you do for the people who didn't know some of the dances? Did you teach them?
Yeah, we had a teacher. Don Gale was a teacher. And we did square round dancing, too. That's a form of...
An instruction session, and then a dance session, and then another instruction session? How does that work?
Instruction session was on a different night.
A different night.
Yeah. It worked.
How long would people dance continuously? An hour?
Yeah.
And then what?
You go home.
No drinks or food?
Oh yeah, we always had that. We had every dance, we had a dinner afterwards. Burner every time.
Who made the dinner?
Well, kind of potluck.
Potluck.
Mostly potluck, I think, yeah.
What were some of the dishes people brought?
Oh, cakes and pies and salads and...
Casseroles?
Casserole, all kinds, beans, everything.
Corn on the cob?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember that, but whatever. Just about anything, just like a potluck. Yeah.
Who supplied all the plates and the forks and the knives?
Well, the club had... Yeah, I think the Sportsman's Club has them right in their kitchen. Yeah.
Did the men help wash the dishes afterwards?
Very seldom. Very seldom. But Ralph,
what did the men do while the women were cleaning up then?
Well, Ralph, just sat around and talk, I guess. Or some of them went home.
Well, did you see any liquor at those dances?
No, that was taboo. We had a couple of guys that come there a little tipsy, but they had to quit that.
What did you do? If a guy bought a bottle and did you kick him out?
He knew better than to bring it in.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, some guys would anyway.
Yeah, just don't go. It was, that's one of the, it was a clean sport, let's put it that way. It was clean. And now, we had a guy, two guys that you could tell they'd been drinking before they got there, but they'd get a little tipsy sometimes, but if they got too bad, why?
Out they went,
yeah. They'd take themselves out usually, because they knew what was happening. But all in all, it was a wonderful thing to do for people.
Are you doing this? Pretty much 52 weeks a year?
Pretty much, yeah. Some, I'd call up here and then sometimes I'd call in LeGrand or Elgin or Baker.
Did they pay you?
Nope. No, it was all volunteer.
They didn't even pay for your gas to get there?
Nope.
Oh. You gave a lot.
Well, all callers had to do it.
Yeah. Did you prefer calling to dancing?
Yeah, I already did. But I danced quite a bit, but I like to call. I really enjoyed it because the people were so friendly to me. They'd all want to dance when I'd call, you know. And, well, not all of them, but the majority of them. And we had some callers that were, they couldn't get people out. They just didn't have it, I guess.
Well, some callers are easier to follow than others.
That's easy.
What do you think the most popular period for square dancing was in you?
In the winter.
Well, I mean years.
Oh.
What sequence of years?
Well, let's see, we have a square dance for probably 6, 7, 8 years. Before that was, it was Well, probably for 25 years it was popular, and then it kind of died out.
Was it popular when you were a little kid?
No, I don't think so. A guy came through here, a professional caller, and taught people here to call square dances, and that's where it all started. Yeah.
And I think that this must have been fairly common throughout the county.
It was.
You said you went to Elgin and Cove and LaGrande.
Enterprise. Mm-hmm. Joseph, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it went to Joseph was.
And what might be the age range of people who would come usually?
Well, anywhere from probably 15 to 85. We had some real old dancers. My God, they could dance, too.
Did many people come alone?
We had two or three that came alone.
Well, the kids who were 15 probably came alone, or would they bring their boyfriend or a girlfriend?
Yeah, usually. But they didn't last too long. They wanted to do something else. It was kind of boring to them, I guess. Yeah.
So mostly people in their 20s, 30s, 40s?
Yeah,
perhaps?
Right along there. Yeah.
Did you notice that square dancing was becoming less popular?
Well, in our club here, we got some people in there that tore it up. I mean, how would I put it? They just wore it out. They took over, took charge, and they didn't know what they were doing, you know, and people just drifted away. You got to know what you're doing if you're going to run something, you know. Mm-hmm. We had one woman in particular. Boy, she was a fright. She'd been square dancing for about 6 weeks, I guess, and she hadn't learned. She couldn't dance. And she got up and said, "There's a lot of problems in this club, and we're going to straighten them out." By God, that just about ruined it. People said, "Well, the hell with her."
Yeah.
Well, she had, there was two women that way, and they finally wore it clear out. Yes.
Were you involved with any other kinds of clubs or organizations in Union?
Sportsman's Club, yeah.
Tell me about that. It sounds like fishing.
Fishing, hunting, and...
What was the purpose of the club?
I don't know, just a bunch of sportsmen got together. My dad was president for a while, and they had dances in the Sportsman's Club, and my dad played for him. He's a fiddler, and every year they had a clam feed or a crab feed, big deal, and. I guess that was just about it.
There wasn't anything like an Elks Club?
Oh, no. No, they're just a bunch of old rednecks having a good time.
Do you think most of the guys around here were rednecks?
Well, not most of them, but we got a few. Yeah.
What did you notice about political activity here? Were you aware of Republicans, Democrats, maybe other parties?
Yeah. I've been aware of it just lately because we've had a hell of a mess here.
Yeah, but earlier days.
Oh yeah, but I wasn't much on politicians. My dad wasn't either. He said, "I'm not smart enough to be smart like them guys." So.
Well, did you vote?
Oh yeah, I've always voted. Yeah.
Well, you must have been reading things or hearing things.
Oh yeah.
Influenced the way you voted.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just an opinion I had of my own. Somebody I liked or didn't like, you know.
Given what you noticed during the Depression, what was your opinion about Franklin D. Roosevelt?
I liked him. I really did.
Because?
Well, he seemed to got things moving more than anybody else. He had the different organizations, the WPA and PWA and so on, and he got them moving. And I thought he was a nice man, pretty good guy.
When the Second World War began, and the country changed in many ways.
Yeah.
Did you start thinking about politics in any different way?
Well, I went right in the Navy as soon as I could, you know, and I didn't know much about politics then. I was out to sea all the time, you know, on an old wore-out World War I destroyer.
Yeah. Well, when you came back,
yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt was in his fourth term, and Wendell Willkie had opposed him
yeah.
a few years before,
yeah.
and Harry Truman... He was vice president.
Yeah.
Then Roosevelt died all of a sudden, and Harry Truman became president.
Yeah.
That shook a lot of people up.
I know.
How about you?
Didn't bother me.
Well, what did you think? What did you know about him?
Well, I used to hear him on the radio quite often, you know, and I'd read his, in the papers what certain things he'd done or going to do, and I just kind of formed an opinion, I guess.
One of the reasons I'm asking you is that I know that for a number of years there was a newspaper in Union called the Union Republican.
Yeah.
I've read some of the issues of it.
Yeah.
And it was pretty straight-line Republican.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got one right there, 1960.
So I was wondering whether the opinions they expressed affected you or many other people in town.
I don't think so. Not very much. He was just an old country guy that published a newspaper.
Yeah.
And that's the way he looked at it. Yeah. Well, there were several publishers. Yeah.
Well, over the years that you were here, do you think the Union was leaning more Republican or Democrat?
I think Republican.
You do?
Yeah, I think. I'm not sure.
Do you know any particular beliefs of the Republican Party that people liked here?
I can't recall.
One of the things that you often have said is that government shouldn't interfere in people's lives.
Yeah.
And anytime there's any kind of regulation coming from the government, people in areas like this often say that's bad.
Yeah. I've heard that. I don't know. We had old man Seibert and old man Lewis and old man McPherson. And Don McPherson, and somebody, been about five or six people published that paper, you know. The last one, it finally just faded out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read it regularly?
Yeah, when I see it, I read it, yeah.
No, in the past, did you read it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I read it just the other day, 1960.
I meant when you were younger.
Oh, no, I didn't pay much attention. No.
Did you read The Observer?
Some.
How about the Oregonian or the Journal?
And we always took the Oregonian. That was a Republican.
Is that your main source of news?
Yeah, Dad, Mother always took that. And I took it for years till it got I just couldn't do it anymore. I just quit because I don't read very good. I don't see very good. That is on print.
Yeah.
I've got a Bible there, but I can't read it because it's too fine a print. So my eyes aren't too good. This is what I use
for the magnifying glass, yeah.
To read it, yeah.
Can you tell me something about your observation of churches in Union?
Well, they tell me one time there was eight of them. Now, I don't know about that for sure. But there was the Adventist, the Presbyterian, and the Methodist. And Baptist. I had them counted once.
LDS.
LDS, yeah. That's a big church here.
Was there a Catholic church?
Catholic, yeah.
There's seven, I think, there.
About eight churches here. But they all, now the Presbyterian church, that's where I started Sunday school. It was out here where the David J. George is, or David. Gravy Day's restaurant is now. That's where we had the Presbyterian church. And it was a beautiful old church. And, of course, I guess they run out of Presbyterians, so they tore it down. I went to school there, or went to church there. And then the...
Do you think with all these churches that almost everybody in Union belonged to at least one?
Brenner had to. There wasn't that many people. You know, we were only about 1,000 people then.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know the Mormon church was pretty strong.
During the years that you were involved, what do you think were some of the contributions that churches made to the community?
Well, I think the Methodist Church was where I belong now. I think in years past it was a lot bigger than it is now, a lot more people. And we had some, well, not rich people, but people with money, and they contributed quite a bit to different things.
What did the churches do for the community?
Well, that's kind of hard to answer.
If they contributed in noticeable ways, you probably would have noticed.
Yeah. I think, well, I know the Mormons have been awful strong here in this town, and they contributed quite a bit. And the Methodists, not too strong now, but they used to be pretty strong. And they contributed quite a bit, in money-wise, to different organizations. And I don't know much about the rest of the churches.
Well, a little more intangibly, did you notice ways that attendance at church or being involved in churches affected people's behavior?
Some, yeah. And we had an Epworth League, that's young people. Had about 30 people. Yeah. Of course, they're all gone now. They're all dead. But we did a lot. We have ice cream socials and donate the money to somebody and things like that. And
well, I'll put it more specifically. Do you think that the churches in some way cut down on immoral or illegal activity in Union?
I think they did at one time, yeah. I don't know about now, but...
Well, I mean, longer ago.
Yeah, I think they did.
You didn't see much, or know about much immoral activity?
Not too much, no.
Never a house of prostitution?
Not that I know. I don't know about if they was. No, I don't...
Drinking?
Well, we've always had some drinking, you know. We've always had a few drunks. Old Wade Shelton, and... Clark Martin and people like that always had
isolated cases.
Yeah, isolated cases. Yeah, really.
Well, high school kids during the time you knew about what was going on in the high school, was drinking common?
No, we didn't drink. We just didn't do it.
You think that was related to the churches?
Some, I believe it was. Yes, some, not. Of course, I don't know about the Baptist Church and the Catholic Church and those people, because I didn't know about them. But it was pretty good. The Methodist and the Presbyterian, which is the only two churches I was ever associated with, we didn't do that. When I was younger, that is. You know.
So can you honestly say that in all the years, earlier years, when you were walking the streets of Union, you didn't see anything going on that you thought was a questionable activity?
Well, I saw a few fights. Yeah. That's questionable. And
a couple of men? A gang fight?
No, just
a couple of men.
Just settle a grudge.
Yeah.
And I'd run into old Shelton once in a while, Martin once in a while, Butch Phillips, and they were usually drunk. They were partly drunk, you know. Hey, they were habitual. That's about all I remember.
Has police activity been noticeable?
Yeah. It's more noticeable now than it ever was.
Yes.
Yeah, it like I told you, the first marshal I remember had that old white horse in the buggy, and that was his police car. And he was a pretty good old guy. But if you got too rough, he'd put you in jail.
Where was the jail?
You know where City Hall is?
Yes.
Right in the back of that.
Uh-huh. And did you ever see inside it?
Oh, yeah. I've been inside of it, but
yes.
Not legally. I wasn't told in. I just went in there with another kid to look at it.
How many cells?
Just one.
With bunks?
Yeah. Had a bunk.
And a pail to pee in?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but I don't...
Well, I don't suppose people would stay in the jail for more than a couple of days.
Oh, no. If there was something pretty serious, they always sent them to LeGrand. Because they had a better court and everything over there. You know.
Do you remember any important fires in the business district?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, the Oregon Trail Garage. Well, it used to be the Oregon Trail. Blown to Hess.
Where you worked briefly.
Yeah. Yeah. During, right... Well, when I was on the coast, it had a fire. Burned part of it down. But they would rebuild it.
Was it a wooden building?
No, it's brick. And it used to be an old bank in part of it. And where the D&D at restaurant is, it burned once. Downstairs, they built it back.
What kind of equipment did Union have to try to put out a fire?
You mean a long time ago?
Yes.
Well, they had a hose wagon, and it was run by manpower. You had to grab on and run like hell.
With a hand pump?
Yeah, had a hand pump to fill it. And they had in that end of town, they had one fire bell up on a little platform.
The north end?
And the south end up on City Hall, there was a fire bell. Mm-hmm. That was it. And I knew some of them old fellows that was on the fire department, and boy, they could run with that wagon.
They were all volunteers, I suppose.
Oh yeah, volunteer, absolutely.
Did you ever go to a fire and watch what they did?
Oh yeah, I went to several fires. I was on the fire department for a little while.
You were?
Well, that was before the war, I guess. And when I left, they took me off, of course.
Can you describe one of those fires? What went on?
Just a lot of smoke, a lot of hollering, and dragging hoses here and there, and squirting water around.
Did people come from all over town to watch?
Oh yeah, a lot of times they did. Sometimes the cops would have to run them off, you know. And we had a fire out in North Union where they burned up a baby, and I can't remember just what the particulars were there.
At that time, did firemen try to rescue anybody who was inside?
Oh yeah, they did. Trying to do their job. Yeah.
Where do you think they got training?
They didn't get trained. They trained themselves.
Even then, there were certain techniques for fighting fires that they needed to know about.
Oh, I suppose the chief gave them a lecture. I don't know. But I never had any training when I was on it. Yeah. I wasn't on it too long.
Why did you agree to do it?
Well, he needed a fireman, I guess, some firemen. And I said I'd do it. And I went to several of their meetings, and I went to a couple or three of their fires. The old Halsey house, I went to that one. And then I went to Navy. When I come back, somebody else had my badge, and I said, "You just keep that badge."
You said too that you were on the school board for a while.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I just decided I could help the school.
You said you didn't like school much.
I didn't, but I learned better after I got out. I found out it was a valuable experience for anybody. And so I was on there about 4 years, I think.
What period was that?
Oh, gosh. Well, she is, was married in 46, about early 50s, or something like that. And those guys are all dead now.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the things you had to decide?
Well, the big thing we had to decide was where to get the money and where to spend it. That was the big thing.
You mean in addition to state money?
Yeah.
You were getting state money at that time.
I think so, yeah.
But you needed more for what?
Oh, yeah. Well, for gymnasiums and stuff like
to build.
To build.
To build it. Oh, yes.
Building.
Mm-hmm.
And I see there's four or five of us on the school board. But I don't remember too much about it. Well, we had to put a new roof on some places. That's expensive. And
so did this involve having a levy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had to have a levy.
Did you have to go out and talk to people to persuade them?
I guess somebody did. I didn't say much. No, I didn't. They could either do it or they could quit. We had a couple of sour balls on there with me that I didn't like very well, and they fought everything. One of them, when we'd have to spend, say $20,000 for something, boy, he's right. That little cost me so much, and he'd vote against it every time. Now, he didn't belong on the school board, but he was there.
Did your school board meetings ever involve anything that was going on in classrooms?
Yeah, every once in a while, a teacher would talk to us about something going on.
Just to inform you about how they were teaching geometry or civics or whatever?
Yeah, and sometimes we had a problem with a couple of students. We had to kick a couple of them out, you know.
Well, usually the principal or the superintendent does that.
Yeah,
but why did the school board have to be involved?
We have to approve it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, before he could do it, yeah.
Kick him out permanently? Or
no, it's just
suspension.
Yeah. He could come back, but I had it. I remember two students we had to do that to, and they come back pretty good kids.
What was your judgment about how much interest most people in the community had about schools?
Not very much until we had a problem. And then everybody had an opinion, you know. And that's difficult.
A problem usually involving money?
Yeah, or students or building or something. Mm-hmm. Usually money, yeah.
That's kind of what you'd expect, isn't it?
Yeah.
If things are going all right, they leave you alone.
Yeah. But we had to have a budget, a levy.
Sure.
And that got a lot of criticism, always.
One of the things I'd like to know is, and you probably know the answer, why did the school board and the school administrators decide to keep the high school pretty much the way it is? It's been there probably since about 1910.
Yeah.
Why did they decide not to tear that down and just to maybe touch it up a little bit?
Well, I know one thing. We'd have run into a hell of a lot of opposition if we'd ever tried it. Because, boy, the people, you don't know how people can turn on you. One of your best friends could tell you off, you know, because you're on the school board.
Why do people feel so strongly about the high school building?
I don't know. It's old. And it's, I think Merton Davis told me he went to the first freshman class there in 1910. Yeah. So it's pretty old and it's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done some improving, or they have lately. They've put in some new restrooms and things like that that are old-fashioned. But you don't hear much about it. But if we started to tear it down, good God, we'd have to leave town.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
I think it is unusual that people have been so willing to keep the old building.
Yeah.
As you know, in LeGrand, Central School and LeGrand High School were both torn down.
I know.
The old Greenwood School.
I went to, I don't know which building it was. They was talking about tearing it down, and I went through it. They said it was unsteady and all. I couldn't see a damn thing wrong with it. It looked, this wall looked just as good as it ever did. But they got it done. I don't know. LeGrand is kind of a... they've got some people that are kind of anti-everything.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, like every,
many towns do.
Yeah, we have them here.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost out of tape here, but go back to when you said that you've lived in Union for about 85 years.
Yeah.
And you made a lot of friends here.
Yeah.
And you haven't apparently wanted to move away.
No.
Is there anything else you can say about Union that makes it so significant to you?
Memories.
Of
people.
People.
All the merchants up and down the street. And people that live, just memories of good people. That's the main thing, I think. I just know that we've always had good people.
Does that have to do somehow maybe with the location of Union or the size of Union or any other thing you can put your finger on to say why it's different from other places?
Well, not really. I know the size of it's about 2,000 now. It was about 1,000 when I came here. But the size of it, I really can't answer that. Just something about it, I like it.
It's a feeling.
It's a feeling, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
have
I,
you ever been tempted to move away?
Nope. I moved away once and I came back. So no, I never did. We came here, we built this little house, and we've lived here since 55, and I'm pretty happy just right here. And I like, there's a few people around that I like yet. A lot of them are gone, of course,
yeah.
But most of them are gone, but there's a few that help me out once in a while if I need them and talk to me, good to me.
Have you ever felt lonely here?
Ever since my wife died, I've been, this is a lonely house.
Yeah.
But you got to live with it.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it. Yeah, we had 51 wonderful years.